Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, February 10th, 2011. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service gives preliminary approval for wolf hunts in Idaho. Montana Transportation Department issues trip permit for ExxonMobil megaloads. And Canadian companies want to begin fracking in Idaho. We'll have those details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. But first, world headlines from Feature Story News, Free Speech Radio News, and the International News Net. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The more than half a million pound ConocoPhillips megalode traveled 34 miles last night and early this morning and is now parked at milepost 136 on U.S. Highway 12, approaching Lolo Pass. An Idaho Transportation Department press release says the first ConocoPhillips load arrived 38 miles from the Montana state line at 2:20 a.m. this morning. The half of a coke drum is making the Idaho section of its journey to Billings in five segments instead of the planned four segments. Weather and difficulty getting around a rock outcropping near Greer has slowed the passage of the coke drum, which is three stories tall and takes up two lanes of the mostly two-lane winding highway along the Lacsaw and Clearwater rivers. At one point during the journey last week, traffic was blocked for 59 minutes, prompting the ITD to require ConocoPhillips submit a new travel plan for the second load, which may leave Lewiston as early as Saturday night at 10 p.m. Meanwhile, the Montana Transportation Department has issued travel permits for the 207 ExxonMobil megaloads, which Exxon subsidiary Imperial Oil wants to transport from the Port of Lewiston to the Alberta tar sands along U.S. Highway 12 in Idaho. The loads weigh up to 590,000 pounds each, are also three stories high, and will also take up both lanes of U.S. Highway 12 and two-lane highways in Montana. The Montana travel permit requires the megaloads not block traffic for more than 10 minutes at a time and requires the company to build 58 turnouts large enough for them. A bill authored by David Ripley of the group Idaho Chooses Life would restrict abortion service payments and will be introduced in the Senate State Affairs Committee. Ripley's bill would prevent Idaho insurance companies from offering coverage that includes paying for abortions when the companies participate in the insurance exchange under the federal health care law passed last year. Under the federal health care law, states must set up insurance exchanges offering a choice of plans set up under common rules. The bill would prevent the exchanges from offering abortion coverage except in the case of rape, incest, and when the life of the mother is at stake. Federal wildlife officials have given preliminary approval to an Idaho petition allowing the killing of up to 60 endangered gray wolves. The wolf populations that would be targeted are from packs that have been preying on big game herds in the Clearwater River Basin. The Idaho proposal is the product of a 2008 rule change by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which makes it legal for states to kill wolves that are harming deer or elk herds. Though U.S. Fish and Wildlife officials have stressed that no final decision has been made, state officials have provided data that they say shows wolves are a factor behind declining elk populations. The federal agency's Idaho supervisor, Brian Kelly, said in terms of elk numbers rebounding, they've tried habitat improvements, changes in the hunting framework for elk, and they're still not seeing a response. Before a decision is officially made, there will be a 30-day comment period. According to Kelly, it could be weeks before a final resolution is reached. A copy of the environmental assessment of Idaho Department of Fish and Game's request to manage gray wolves can be found on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service website. Comments on the draft must be received on or before Monday, March 14th. Montana has submitted a similar wolf removal petition to remove 12 wolves in the Bitterroot Range. That petition is still pending. Idaho state officials plan to meet next week to establish a program to oversee drilling and natural gas production that could bring in millions of dollars to the state. Payette County and New Plymouth City officials are concerned about the effects of drilling techniques on their drinking water, however. Two Canadian gas companies, Bridge Resources Corporation and Paramax Resources Limited, spent $20 million last year to drill 11 wells in Payette County. The companies report three of the wells produce natural gas at economic levels naturally. They say four other wells require hydraulic fracturing, known as fracking, in order to produce economically. Fracking injects a high-pressure toxic mixture of gel and sand into the formation to clean out the reservoir near the well to get the gas flowing more freely. Environmental concerns about fracking have become well known since Pennsylvania banned Cabot Oil and Gas Corporation from drilling more wells after drinking water in homes became contaminated. Idaho currently has a 2% severance tax on oil, whereas surrounding states have taxes ranging from 5 to 9.4%. Senate Tax Committee Chair Joe Stegner said he knows other states benefit financially from oil and gas production and said, "I see no reason not to have a review of the tax structure, and my inclination is to be comparable with other states." The Idaho Statesman reports Idaho now ranks fourth in the nation for home foreclosures. One in every 241 homes in Idaho was in foreclosure last month. Nevada ranks first, Arizona second, and California third, and Utah is fifth. 2,686 foreclosures were filed in January, 29% more than in December. Plaintiffs' attorneys criticized the low compensation payment offers made to a group known as the Hanford Downwinders at a court hearing in Spokane yesterday. The group consists of 234 people with thyroid cancer that resulted from exposure to radiation from Hanford. The lawyer said the low offers were derived from a radiation dose estimate featured in a controversial government study and did not take into account the downwinders' medical bills or their pain and suffering. Plaintiff attorney Richard Iman of Spokane also accused the U.S. Department of Energy of deliberate delays that have caused sick people to give up on the case and accept small payments. One of the downwinders who received the payment offer is 61-year-old Deborah Clark, who is in a coma in a Longview, Washington hospice. Clark has been undergoing surgery since 1997 for thyroid cancer, which has now spread to her bones. To date, her medical bills have run up to $600,000. The settlement offered was $10,000 based on a low-dose estimate of less than one rad. Iman has asked the government for $2 million to settle Clark's case, saying her actual estimated dose is much higher, 35 rads. In an interview last year, Clark said she was angry that the government was claiming her radiation dose was so low. Clark said, "As far as I'm concerned, they've already killed me." The study that determined probable dose amounts did not take into consideration factors such as diet, and Iman believes Clark's high dose amount comes from drinking raw cow's milk while growing up in eastern Oregon. Many believe the trial has taken an exceedingly long time, including Iman. Iman's request for the $2 million settlement was filed nearly 2 years ago, and he has yet to receive a counteroffer. Federal District Court Judge William F. Nielsen agrees that the downwinder's case has become, quote, embarrassingly long, and the trial has been running for 21 years so far. 250 area grain growers met at the Schweitzer Event Center in Pullman yesterday to talk about the upcoming growing season. The event, sponsored by the Pacific Northwest Farmers Cooperative, is the largest annual growers meeting in the Northwest. Bob Cresswell of Export Grain Terminal in Portland gave a talk and said, "This is the perfect storm of circumstances, and he expects to see wheat prices around $8 per bushel. Crop failures around the world and reduced acreages planted last spring have pushed wheat prices to almost $9 this past week. Cresswell expects more acres will be planted in wheat this year due to the high prices, but he added, long-term production continues to lag population growth. He mentioned Asia's population is expected to grow by 1.8 billion by the year 2050. Cresswell pushed the idea that wheat needs to become a growth commodity and claimed growers and consumers need to embrace genetically modified wheat in order to meet world food demands. U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius was in Seattle yesterday to hear ideas for cutting health care costs and improving the efficiency of services provided. She met with Governor Chris Gregoire along with health care officials from around the state. Sebelius was interested in the programs Washington and other states have adopted that could be used by the federal government. Sebelius said, "The best care is not delivered each time, and we pay more for care that really doesn't make people healthier." Governor Gregoire noted her goal is to hold the growth of healthcare spending to no more than 4% a year by 2014 while continuing to maintain or improve patient health outcomes. At Wednesday night's Pullman School District board meeting, Superintendent Paul Strum introduced a teacher and principal evaluation pilot program that will be implemented next year. The changes were made to comply with E2SSB, a broad education reform bill passed last year by the state legislature. The first year of the pilot will consist of creating new criteria, and the second year will be the application of those ideas in the classroom. More information about the pilot can be found on the school's website, which is psd267.org. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take you a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. It'll be partly cloudy tonight with a low around 26 degrees. And tomorrow, it will be mostly cloudy with a high of 44 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 33. A 50% chance of rain on Saturday. Cloudy, high near 47. Breezy with the southeast winds 10 to 15, becoming southwest 20 to 25 later in the day. Winds could gust up to 30 miles per hour. Saturday night, 50% chance of rain. Cloudy, low 35. Southwest winds 15 to 20 with gusts up to 25, and a 40% chance of rain and mostly cloudy on Sunday, high 45. Currently fair skies, 33 degrees. Thanks for tuning into the KRFP Evening Report. Remember to support KRFP in our continuing efforts to bring you daily newscasts both during the evening and during the morning mix program, and also bring you public affairs programming and recordings of local events throughout the day here at Radio Free Moscow. You can donate to Radio Free Moscow by becoming a member. Memberships are $35 a year, $25 for students, and you can send checks to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or check on the Radio Free Moscow website on how to donate. I'm Lee Robartis. Allie Pfeiffer and Emmett Breedlove-Strout assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow. Talk Nation Radio is next, followed by Flashpoints, the latest from Egypt, from the Daily Investigative News Show from Pacifica Radio at 7:30 World Waves with World Music here on KRFP Moscow.